change. I made a second change later. First I made one change, I made a mishma to the sunday, I made another change. The shayla is maybe this is a problem with aim of alchemist for the hatchila. There is a din that you're not allowed to mix in a little trace of ingredient into a lot of kosher ingredients, even though you know you're going to have shisha. If you had to have did it amazing, and did what amazing, so then I say even also to the yevid, as it's not to the rabban, you're not allowed to eat the food. So here there's a machlech, the sakharna, what about mikvah and alchemist for the sun? The nisha of hatchila, you take crazy food into the mafsul and alchemist for the sun. It causes to go through a process which will cause it to be mishmach in the sun. If you hold it, that's an issue. That's a machlech, you have to defend him. And if there's somebody on the bottom of the other day, I forgot the other problem, or somebody would see that problem, one of that problem argues with a Yankee Bender about that. But the other, it's also a Mahakhila, then if you want to have you did it, then for the Yevah, you'll have the penalty. The penalty is also for the Yevah, both the Misha, Dithloi, and Misha Nasa Bishvila. We cast in like the Taz, the customers are called Misha Nasa Bishvila. Even they don't have in mind anybody specific, but any customer who will buy it, it was intended for them. They can hold it, and making it go through the process, of becoming mishmach in the sodom is a violation of the principle of aim of atonis and achatilis, which I'll be pashtus is not today. That's an achatilis, pashtus is that it's not. But if you should assume like that, so then it'll be also to the other, even to all the customers.
But another
point. For him, he laughs and he tells the truth. Right, so then it's a shame, is that called aim of atonis and to buy it from the guy? That's what we're doing in customers. Again, it's a contemporary problem. That's called the innovator is not still to buy something from a goy if the goy is not.
How does one determine whether it's Nifsal
or it's Lokidah Hakulasa? Yes, but the Chazanish writes the kit because it depends if it's a reversible one. Let's say if it's the hamburger is freezing cold, so warm enough, the hamburger is burning hot, so cool it up a little bit. The hamburger has too much mustard. So why cook some of the mustard in the pocket? But if I put in some soap into the soup, I put in a lot of soap in the soup and it tastes awful, so the only way to reverse it is by adding a lot of sugar. That's called Mr. Machi Lassar. That's not called Shlaga Dara Hachi Lassar.
What about all these chemicals? You can't eat
them,
like, when you
wouldn't
eat them, like, that's not
Mr. Machi Lassar. Ah, so that depends on the other question. Let's say if the chemical couldn't be complained, but let's say if you mix in a lot of water, that they wouldn't taste good.
You have to mix in a lot of sugar.
No, that's like raw meat. You don't say that. Let's say I buy raw ham, so you say it's mixed machi lasagam, because nobody eats it raw. And then when you cook it, it's cause of raw machi lasagam. So if you all cook ham as mutra, it's cause of raw machi lasagam.
So
just shluck it out of happy
lasagam. If you put fish in water,
I just didn't make it.
People are not going to drink it because there's a chemical in it. You may not be able to taste the chemicals
that will
drink it,
or it's
water,
yeah.
But people won't drink these chemicals.
Then the chemical doesn't add any flavor. It doesn't taste good. Okay. And it's called mixed nothing or something. It's a chemical. It's called mixed nothing or something. But if the chemical, let's say I have a container of Quick or something, or chocolate milk mix or something, let's say it's great. Has a non-reliable hot, let's assume it's great. So let's say if you put it, take a spoonful of that and eat it, and stomach tastes awful. I don't know. Maybe it tastes good. I always assume that it tastes awful. But that's not called Nesnachila soda. You didn't mix it with the water yet. Mix it with the milk, or mix it with the water, so it'll taste good. That's Shalaka Dara Hakilot. If it's not normal, if people normally don't eat, that's called Shalaka Dara Hakilot. But that wouldn't be called Nitzamaki Lassar. It's not Nitzam, there's nothing wrong with it. Nitzam means that you got boiled or ruined or something happened. Or you mixed in some terrible tasting stuff.
If you have to mix in milk, then that's like with sugar. If you have to add in sugar.
No, it means you're just not, you didn't prepare it yet. Like the raw. Like the raw meat, that nobody said not to
add something to the milk.
It's
not that it came this horrible tasting
thing
that you
have
to throw out sugar
in.
Yeah. It's not,
it's not
that you don't
want to
pick up the
flavor.
If you
have
to add milk and sugar, then it would be
just like
that.
If the trace of thing doesn't have anything positive, well, it just has a negative flavoring, then it's not going to thumb. But if it has a good flavor, the only thing is that the way it is now, it seems strong, too sharp. So you have to dilute it in order that it should be tasty, and that's the way it's always intended. where can it intended to be? And then it's like wrong meaning, that it's not called Mishnah Pilasar. Just in its present state, it's Shalek, it's Erech HaPilasar.
This one may have been a
The Rosh says it's Tosfos Rabbanim because of Achshele. Balamor and the Ra'oh disagree. But we pass from the Yeridah like the Rosh. So it's Tosfos Rabbanim because of Achshele.
So according to
Rosh,
the
difference
between Dabashel
and Dabashel
and
Dabashel and Dabashel and
Dabashel
and Dabashel and Dabashel.
Some of those things
are stabilized. Yeah, but not if it's Nisim Achiva. Nisim Achiva then it's Mutzah. Dor HaMan just means that it's not bottom. Even though usually things that are shape are bottom the Shisha, and if it's Dor HaMan, it Achiva better look like bottom. But now that it's not bottom, so what is it though? So you think Nisim Achiva Torah? So even if it's not bottom, it's Mutzah. Still Mutzah. No, it doesn't matter. But the Nid itself is not Mizdaka. But if it's Mutzah, it's Mutzah. It doesn't matter if it's not Mizdaka. I don't know. That's a Ushala, because the milk is not trained yet until you cook it with the meat. It's a Ushala. When some food is Nifsmachila Sada, did I say it becomes Ois Michael? Therefore, when it's chayzer v'rei l'achilas adam, it's no longer milchik. So, like a synthetic food. Synthetic foods are always paragraph. How do you say no? But for Yushai, I don't know. I don't remember that it's even discussed in the other. The pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to kill the mitzvah. But you can call a chol bayarki enish. The Rashi quotes from the Medrash. Enish osi lotsu t'menashe yuzgaya. Then it says that he killed him. Why did he have to check first in advance? Bayarki Yenish. So the Nefashim explained that when a person is Chaya, he says Bezdin, then you don't have to check to see what his defendants will be. You have to look into the future, what's going to be, what's not going to be. I'm not Kamina. His mother is going to be left without any children, and his wife is going to be left without money, his children are going to be left behind, Yeshiva is going to be left without a Rosh Hashiva. If the guy's a mess, I'm going to die, so kill. Not what all the repercussions are. Ignore all the results. That's the time he's in Bezin. Bezin doesn't have to go look about the whole world. But if he's only time he's in Bezin Shemayim, then you have to look first to see what the result will be. Then if they'll have terrible results, then you don't kill. If the result will not be terrible, then you do kill. So here, what was the Averit? That the Ish Mitzri was Chayiv. So the Gemara says that Anochri Sheikas HaYisrael is Chayiv Nisa. So the Rambam explains that it's not Chayim Nisiv Bezdin, it's only Chayim Nisiv Bezdin Shemayim. That's how the Brisker Rav explains it. You can cover Chova Yarki Enish, Vayachas HaMitzvah, you can hear the Chova. But the whole of this that it is Chayim Nisiv Bezdin Shemayim. And in fact, Rashi quotes from the Medrash that on the next day that he wanted to, that Moshe Rabbeinu was screaming at the two Jews, Enish Nehan Rashi Mivrim Nitzim, Vayom HaRosh HaBam HaStakar HaYecho. And he says, Hala Hargeni Ato Omer, Kasha Harak Bez HaMitzvah, what does it mean? Halah Hargeni Ato Omer? What kind of relation is that? And Rashi quotes, Yikan Ono Lamegim Shaharoba B'Shem HaMeforosh. That the day before, Moshe Rabbeinu had killed the Mitzri by mentioning the Shem Hashem. But that's Takamamish, a form of Mitzvah B'Dei Shemayim. That's not Mitzvah B'Dei Shemayim. That's Mitzvah B'Dei Shemayim. So whenever the Yoinish is born on Mitzvah B'Dei Shemayim, then the Bezah Shomayim have to take into consideration or the Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tzadik is going to invoke this, bring about this Nisvei Shemayim, has to take into consideration everything else that's all of the effect that will be brought about by his death.
Does that mean Probably,
and that's a form of Nisvei Shemayim. That's not called Nisvei Shemayim. Again, Yatomir, he killed him with the Shemayim. But it continues to say that when Moshe Rabbeinu was a midyan, by invoking the Shem HaMeforosh, he says, Baruch Shalom, this man did a terrible thing. See to it that he dies. So then Moshe Rabbeinu didn't lift a finger. He just said, see to it that he dies. So he died. If Bezma curses somebody and they say, we want you to drop dead, that's called Mrs. Bezma. That's what we spoke about. If Bezma gives a nidui, a cherem, The Misha makes Beniduya, Bez and Sotom Sarono, to demonstrate that it was really Chayiv Skila, that's how the Mordechai Yadzan, and therefore the Krovim don't observe Avelus. Just like the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, that the Harugi Bezin, anyone who was killed was Skila Seif Beherek Chenik. So there's not been a Avelus because the Gemara quotes the Pasuk. Similarly, Misha made Beniduya, Bez and Sotom Sarono, that it was really, he really deserved to get a Misha Bezin like Skila. And the Shulchanah quotes in the name of the Mordechai that also they don't observe Avelus. It's not such an uncommon thing. Let's say a guy violates an Avera for which he deserves Chayim, and the Bezim puts him in Chayim. Or let's say there are some Karamim that are standing. Let's say a Chayim that Rabbeinu Gershom. You don't have to repeat the Chayim. Let's say a man is Neitzi Yisho Al Ishtar. A man gets married, and then he never gets a get from his wife. Then he goes and he marries another woman. We have a lot of people like that. No? A lot of conservative Reform Jews. They get married. And then they get a civil divorce, they don't bother to get a get. And then they go marry another woman. You have a lot of Israelis like that. There's a guy who's married in Israel, they just run away to America. Goes, marries himself another wife, and he doesn't bother to do anything with his first wife. So he's violating the Chener Rabbeinu Gershom. The Chener Rabbeinu Gershom, you don't have to put him in Chayim again. The Rabbeinu Gershom already put him in Chayim. So when this guy dies, another 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 80 years later, whatever age he dies, that's called Mishanei Beniduya Bez Nasot and Mitarona. Want to violate the Chemer Abin Agesh? Mr. Bedin is, Mr. Yeradeh, it says you don't fit Shiva. Probably don't fit Shiva to this guy anyway, because anyone who will do something like that probably is not observant to all the other laws as well. But that's not necessarily so. There's sometimes people who are otherwise religious, and...
You don't fit Shiva for a person.
Right? If a person is not... We discussed it. When did you discuss Parshas Chayisara? Parshas Chayisara discussed the din in Yeridah. It depends who the people are who are going to sit the Shiva. If all the other people who are going to sit Shiva are also non-religious, you don't have to tell them the secret. You don't tell them everything. Just let them suffer in their ignorance. Let them observe Shiva. But and if half of the relatives are religious and half of the relatives are not religious, how are you going to tell them? The deal is that I don't sit Shiva. You can do whatever you want, I'm not going to sit Shiva. So that whatever family feud there is, whatever friction there is in the family, they can make it work. But if this guy is all by himself, he lives all by himself in Arizona, and the family lives over here, and he hears that a relative died, he's absolutely not religious, but then the deal is that he doesn't sit Shiva. It's not going to affect anything else in the family.
No, this whole process, everything is over on
No, it depends whether he's a mummer or something. The moment where they rock, I was going to say the other day that you won't observe that.
Not even a voluntary.
It's not a waste of time. If you want to sit Shiva, make believe, you're sitting Shiva.
You
can't volunteer a veil on a friend if he's not religious. There's no kiyum amitzvah. You can volunteer on a person of Avelus if there's a kiyum amitzvah of Avelus. But if there's no kiyum, so then you can't even volunteer. There won't be any kiyum amitzvah at all. You don't say that all the Jews are part of the mitzvahs because somebody died. They just don't have to do the family. They have to be very careful about being the sacrifice in the Torah. But if that person who died was not a religious person, so they're not more clear than anybody else. The secret is that the guy will be there. Take care of him. You don't be such a zari that you should be part of the mitzvahs because you're so busy taking care of him. Sometimes it was you got and you know you can finish in there. It's like I just never kept anything because he never knew. He never knew, never knew he was out there. Still be a Catholic. They have Goy. You have nothing against the Goy. They say, well, since it's not their fault that they were born Goy, so King Kandishma is brought up as a Goy, so we should all treat him like a Jew. No? Goy is not Goy. But the more we deal with Catholic, it's Rahman and Tulsa.
I mean,
the more
you have to do it for the sake of the
science,
rather than
you know. No, not necessarily. They're not informed in the other day. Sometimes yes and sometimes not. There are different kinds of moments. Depends what the nature of the moment is. A lot of demons in Shulchan Aruch.
What's the
Gelet
between
the two? The Gelet is the Shekhi. The person does have every Shekhi. So we call him the Shekhi. But it depends how many Averis he's doing the Shekhi. What? He does all the Averis the Shekhi. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't keep anything from the Jewish community. So he's still in a Kaffin. He's not the Shekhi. What can you do? A Goy is also the Shekhi. Not his fault he was born a Goy, but a Goy is an Akron.
He doesn't deserve anything.
We have nothing against him. We don't punish him. But a Goy, you also have nothing against the Goy. We're not punish him. But he's an Akron. So the Jew is also being a Kaffin. He doesn't keep anything.
The devil would be born Jewish.
Right. No, I'm just giving a mashal that sometimes you say a person is an akum, even though we have nothing against them. We're saying declaring a person as an afri is not that the punishment is. So the movement in the kafir is also not necessarily to be taken as a punishment. If he doesn't keep anything, so he's also being a kafir.
It's like saying, sorry, so people in New York, we know what the Shabbos, they don't know the Shabbos, they don't know the Shabbos. They know.
Does the person observe whatever he knows?
He doesn't know.
What does he know on Shabbos? You don't go to work on Shabbos. He does go to work on Shabbos.
Well,
person associates with the Jewish religion to a certain extent. He goes to Shul Hashanah Yom Kippur and he comes to the right side, this or whatever, he shiver, yeah, he donates to the UJA and so on. By the bond, if he does, but then it's not, then he's not a moment in the car. It depends in each case. But the guy has no shaykhus at all with Judaism and anything. Even if it's Bishagi, we go to be in the car. You have to go through it, different kilometers.
Is that
from
the Kippur? You know, the Kippur, then he dies.
You have to bury him. What's the din? What's the din? You don't have to bury him. Very much.
It's the din that you don't see shiva for a parrot who was not religious or who was mainstream.
A lot of shivas about that. It used to be before the war. We have shivas all up about that. They didn't need to bury him or not. Milan and Mahalo has to shiva for everything.
The din that you don't have to
see
shiva on your parrot who's not religious. There's a
I don't remember, but I know the halacha we passed in that you're not right.
That's because the Shogunath class was there.
Most people commit suicide are aggravated. Then you have a small percentage of people commit suicide because they have a shitta, a struggle in life. And essentially, you know, that it's not worth living. And they commit suicide the symptom as a shitta. So it says in the book, Muhammad asked the Shalom of God, the Rina of Israel, Muhammad asked the Mada. The God means, Kedera Hapilot Sosin. That's how the book says, Kedera Hapilot Sosin. That they hold that life is not worth living, they don't think he's a god, and God didn't give us any living to live, and so on. So most people are not about to shalom with that. Most people that we know commit suicide. Are shalom with that.
It's not
you have to do tshuva and then they'll discuss whether they want to be matter of chayim. The pasuk says that when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the burning bush, he said, "Asura no be'era et hamara hadom lezeh madura lo yivar hasneh." So the Nebish Rabba comments on this pasuk, "Asura no be'era," that he took three steps to approach the what is the idea of the three steps? And apparently that's the idea that the Gemara has in Yuma, that when you daven Shemoneh Esrei, before you daven, you should take three steps forward. You approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that when you're busy and Olam HaZeh matters, you can't be mizdabik with the Shechina. You can't be studying for your college course in the middle of all the work, and then just like this, you speak to the Baruch Shalom, Vasacha. It doesn't go like that. You have to walk a little bit away from Olam HaZeh. And then after you finish davening Shemoneh Esrei also, you don't just stay in the same spot, and then right after speaking with the Shechina, right away you go back home to your daily routine. The Gemara says, no, you have to take 3 steps back. And then it says in the Yoreh Chaim in Hilchos Tefillah that there were some people that after they finished Shemoneh Esrei, they looked by the Chassidim, a lot of them do not. They walk back, keep on walking, more steps, and more steps, and more steps. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that that's Mezzi Ki Yuhara. That's an act of arrogance. Why? They show that if they are so close to the Baruch Shalom, and they daven, it takes them 50 steps to walk back. That's magic to you. Now, some Hasidim walk back 3 steps to the Machlokes of having count 3 steps. And some walk back 3 full steps. That's what we would count as 6 steps. That's one shita like that. A different shita is how you figure that it's 3 steps. But others keep on walking more than that. Even with Ishitosim, it's not just 3 full steps that we would count as 6 steps. They walk more than that. So that's an Shulchan Aruch, not enough. So the person shouldn't demonstrate as if he was so close with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he comes back to this real world, has to walk a very far distance. The shaila is what happens, let's say if I'm over here and I want to daven Shemoneh Esrei, so I should walk forward 3 steps. What if I'm already by the wall? So there's nowhere to walk. I'm not going to walk into the wall. So do I walk back 3 steps first and then walk forward 3 steps? I should walk back 3 steps in order to make a hachona, to make the hachona. So they say, no, if you're standing by the wall, say, that where you are, by the wall. From Dirk Yates, it's said. No, you want to prepare yourself before you dive by walking 3 steps forward. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll throw it on the air and just do
whatever you say.
Wherever you are, you take 3 steps forward.
You don't have to say, don't have
a wall behind you. No, not behind you, before you. Let's say I'm standing here by the wall. I want to dive from that time. I can't walk 3 steps forward to prepare. But should I walk back 3 steps in order to enable myself to make our home to walk forward 3 steps? Or you say, no, there's no way to walk forward. So you just start davening the way you are. But it doesn't make any sense. You start davening Shemoneh Esrei where you are. There are Hashulchan writes that maybe it's not so. Maybe if the person has no way to walk forward, maybe the proper thing is he should walk back 3 steps in order to enable him to walk forward 3 steps. But this is a very mishtarbid hamineg. That people think that before you daven Shemoneh Esrei, you're supposed to walk back 3 steps and forward 3 steps. That's not what it is. That's not what it says in the Gemara. So to walk forward 3 steps, as the hachana, to walk away from where you are, to go forward to approach the Shechina. And if there's no way to walk forward, then the pashtus is like the Birkei Yosef, that you don't have to, so you just daven Allah Tzav where you are. You don't walk anywhere. And then the Aruch HaShulchan says maybe it's probably going to be machmer that if no way, there's no way to walk forward, maybe you should walk back, but love dafke three steps back. Somehow you walk back a little bit. Well, they should have way to walk forward three steps.
So then, when I say you're only supposed to walk three steps back, you don't have to walk forward or something?
The Marjan says you walk back three steps, that's all. It doesn't talk about walking forward. It just says if you want to walk forward, if you want to walk forward, so the Rib says you should wait till the Chazan reaches Kiddush. You shouldn't walk forward. The Rib says you shouldn't walk forward. Afi Pashtus does not pay that off to walk forward. And on the bottom of the Rosh, the Rib Hamudah points out, but there's a later minute that you makbid the davke, yes, to walk back three steps of Kafi Tambola, some kind of a series of six steps after the Shemoneh Esrei. So
the
makbid,
that
people should walk.
Six steps, maybe you should take three steps.
No, no. Just said there's some minute to walk back three steps after the Shemoneh Esrei, that's what's found in the Gemara. And then see Mahadi Badaski to walk back to the same place after a while. There should be a series of six steps. And that's why Sama Makhid, not to allow anybody to walk in between the place where they were saying Ishmael and the place where they stepped back to, left to they walk back. So there shouldn't be a Hafsaf in between the first three steps or left three. I mean, through the Yachad, combined for six, something of the Kabbalah, which I forgot already.
Two things. First of all, if someone just stepped back to three steps, and
yeah.
Should he go step forward? I don't think so. He should stay where he is. He has to wait.
Or just now, when a person finishes, it's not Kedusha also, I've failed to walk back also, some reason not pick up on.
And if a person finished Shemoneh Esrei after the husband finished Kedusha and everything, is then he can walk just right back after he went away and they look all around?
A person finished Shemoneh Esrei after Kedusha. Yeah.
So,
he waits all around then
he doesn't have to wait longer.
Yeah.
What is it for?
Some kind of a time they give up the Kabbalah. The Ikaradin is not found, it's not mentioned in the Gemara, but the later Achrenim has. The Dibri Hamudis on the Rosh points out in Rochus that it's not found in the Gemara. Maybe the Gemara, if he walked back three steps, he can do whatever he wants to finish. He says it's the later Chumah to walk back again. Then the Rebbeinu Shlomo tells Moshe Rabbeinu by the burning bush that he should go redeem Bnei Yisrael, tell Paruch to set Bnei Yisrael free, and so on and so forth. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'll come to Bnei Yisrael, say, I'm a Novi, the Rebbeinu Shlomo spoke to me, they'll ask me, Mashmai, my Marlene, I don't even know what your name is, I don't know anything about the Likud. The Rebbeinu Shlomo tells him, my name is Eke Asher Eke. This is one of the, yes, Mashmai, Bnei Yisrael will ask me, what is your name? So the Rebbeinu Shlomo tells him, this is my name. So the Gemara lists off in Shavuot, Zayin Shem Shem Nechok, seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're not permitted to evade. So there are two gear swords in the Gemara, quoted in Yeridayah. It's in the Rei Shain Vos, this head. The Shulchan Aruch lists off, what are the Zayin Shem Shem Nechok? And this is the Yeh Gersh and Gamkein, Eke, Asher Eheke. Some have that gear sword as well. That's what we're machmir for. We treat this as one of the Zayin Shem. That's why the proper thing is that you shouldn't pronounce this name, Eke, Asher Eheke. You shouldn't pronounce it the way it's said, unless you're reading the Pasuk, or unless you're davening. Just like Elohim, and just like Shin Dalad Yud, and just like Aleph Dalad and Yud, and all the other Shemus. Kael, you're not permitted to pronounce any of the Shemus, Shem and Krokim, unless Derech Tfilah, Derech Tfilah, Derech something, Derech Davening or something. But otherwise it's not. You know, learn that after the Pasuk, you get Hashem Lo Kach Atzirah, that you're not permitted to invoke the Shem Shemai, the last one.
I think it takes
the chilli course that's not the answer.
Yeah, I guess this is like that. You should like that, because you should read.
Who said like that?
The mitzvah. Rav Yosef.
Rav Yosef?
The
mitzvah.
You're learning a Gemara.
You read in the Gemara. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk. When the Pasuk has the Shem Hashem, so you should read the Shem Hashem.
Even if it's not a full Pasuk. And
I think people usually don't do that.
Yeah.
I think this should be quotes come up like.
And if you're talking and learning, or if you're trying to say, talking about the Chumash, and you know you want to describe what this means, so can you say out the name?
The stomach. What the? But our meaning is that we don't do it.
We brought up with that. I mean, we mentioned that once about the mirror and the
The Ramah says that if a person forgot Al-Anisim in the benching, he should say at the end of the Birchot HaMozim, Rachman Yasin Al-Anisim, Kishem Shatif, Al-Sin, Bayam, and Mayim, and Manazen, and he says, they may not see Yom and Yechon, and so on. But then the Ramah says that if it's Rishodish, if you forgot to say Yalav Yovah in benching, so the Dinah, you don't have to bench over again, you should not recite Yalav Yovah later, because it has the Shem Hashem in it. So Shasha, Motzi Shem Shamar, and Yilafon. So the later Rachanim asked, what kind of a reason is that? Why is that Motzi Shem Shamar, and Yilafon? He's saying it's Pina. Not allowed to say a tchina with the Shem Hashem. Apparently the Ramah holds in Yehuti. Not allowed to say a tchina with the Shem Hashem. You're only allowed to say Shem Hashem if you say a pasuk, if you're saying a bracha, if you're saying a nusach ha-tchina, the banshik tesak bel, one of them. But if you have your own nusach ha-tchina, and you have a Shem Hashem, so you shouldn't say it. That's why some ha-makbid, that's why the real brisk ha-makbid, not to pronounce the Shem Hashem on his news, based on that Ramah. Most people who say the Shem Hashem on his the Ligan doesn't work. The Ligan only sits in if you say so many syllables in every moment.
The Ligan doesn't work if you say it. Some of the way these things
rhyme. It's easy that
first of all, if a person usually pronounces something in
By the Spartans, they always had that. They always had Shem Hashem in poems. The Ramah says not. The other Rambam disagrees with the Ramah. The Rishayim is, those who want to be machin like the Ramah, so they're machin. Kuf Teches, and Hilchus Birchus Amod, and he forgot the Al-Anisim, and Panikim. The Mishnah Berurah says it not. The Mishnah Berurah says it not. The only going point that in Hareisha involved that not only Ekash of Ekach, even Ekash Lachani Alechim, the third one also, one is not permitted to pronounce unless you're reading the Pesukim, unless you're davening or something. So why did it only mention the Shulchan Aruch Ekash of Ekach? Why did he got the third Shem Ekach? So he says, that's the Chiddush. Because one Ekash Ekach is the Chiddush. One could have thought, when it says in the Pesukim, Hakadosh Baruch Hu described it as a Kei Kol Elohim. So the first one is Kodesh and the second one is Kol. It's not a Kei Kol Elohim. You got all the gods. There's only one God. He is the God, the Holy God, the Shem Kodesh of Elohim, of all the powers, whatever the second word means. But it's not Kodesh. It's the Kodesh and the Shulchan Aruch, not God. One might have thought that just like a Kei Kol Elohim, the second one is Kol. One might have thought Ekasher Ekeh, the second one is also Kol. The Kamashma, the Gemara, and the Tur, and the Shulchan Aruch, that it's not. Ekash or Ekeh, they're both HaKodesh. But the third Ekeh, Ekash Lachani Alechem, that's Avad HaKodesh. There's no Shai Vatar. And one is not permitted to be Moichet, this is from the Zayn Shem Shem Mechot, and one is not permitted to be Moichet Shem Shem Amin Matava, either unless, let's say, when the Chazim Davin, and he says the Hini, he says the Ekash or Ekeh, Shaka, it's Mokos, and so on. So then he mentions it, the Berach Trilo, and it's Mutter, but Shlodishah Trilo, Shlodishah Zbrocha, Shlodishah Limo, it's not permitted to pronounce. The Beis Yosef had a malach, he used to tell him all the stories of Kabbalah. So he wrote a sefer, Magid Mishan, and he quotes all the things that the malach told him. So the Magid told him over here, Shtibot Torah, on this parasha, that why is it that you're allowed to pronounce the Shem Eka Shereka? So he gives him the whole reason of the Kabbalah. So the Nesha Chachma points out, he said that the minig olam is that people pronounce Eka Shereka. The other thing, Elikim, Shakayim, Tzvokoyim, and Al Zal, and you people on these are not to pronounce. Ekashereka, people are mezalzel on that. They don't realize they're not allowed to pronounce that. Why? So he says that they must be, the mistake must be rooted in the misunderstanding of the Magid Mishan. Everybody must have read the Magid Mishan. Most people never heard of the Magid Mishan. They all misunderstood what the Malach told the Beis Yosef. They must have misunderstood that the Malach told the Beis Yosef why you're allowed to pronounce the Shem Ekashereka, unlike all the other Shem and Chosim that you're not allowed to pronounce. Says the Nisan Mutzi Shem Shalom Bal Tov. So he said that's not the pshat in the Magid. Magi came to Faran for a different kasha, that the Shem Yudke Vakke, if there's Eshmi, the Shem Yudke Vakke, not even allowed to pronounce, even Derech Tfilin, Derech Liman, and Derech Bakosha, outside of the Beis HaMikdosh, only in the Beis HaMikdosh is the Mutter, and it's required to pronounce the Kisava, the Kutz HaMikdosh is up there. So that's what the Magid is asking, why should, in other words, the Zayin Shem Shem Vakke have divided into two places, one Shem Yudke Vakke, and the other six. So the Magid is asking Akasha, why shouldn't the Akasha Rekha be treated like Yudke Vokta? Isn't it very similar? Akasha Rekha is like Yudke Vokta. The whole Shorish is similar. So he explained why it's not the same level as Yudke Vokta. It's the same level as the other six Shemim. But it's Akofan the same as the other six. He did, the Magid didn't mean to say that it's a lower level. So he said that people have a mistake. They think that that one is permitted to pronounce this Shem. It's connected up in, it's quoted near a day. Ekashereka is one of the Zayin Shem Shem Nekosh. Mele, one is not permitted to pronounce it, Shlod Shas, the Limur is Pio. A famous Shvera Pasik, when the Rebbe Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Zela Haoros HaShomot HaShlach Ticho, or Gyach HaSom and Mitzham Tavlin and Salakim Al Ahor HaZeh. Very difficult Pasik, what kind of an oath is that? Tells Moshe Rabbeinu, if he wanted an oath, that you believe in Avi, so he says, the us will be if you finish all you did in time, then. That's not an us. An us is, here's the us, I give the us now. Yes, since I proved it to you, so go proceed accordingly.
The Rambam says that Moshe had two kashashas. One, he didn't know if he could take them out of the time, and the second, he didn't know that he would be able to be money then and take them into Eretz Yisrael. Mm-hmm. So I should say, you want to know something, the first thing, but if you get to Har Sinai, and then you'll see that the
Nebuah
starts coming through, that you will, that's an
oath
for the next thing, that you'll be able to be
managed as well. Yeah, so a lot of Pshat and Rashi, Rashi's brothers in Kashi, all of the Pershing, are working on this Kashi. So there's a famous historical event that's written up in the Tshuva, I think the Maritatz has a Tshuva about it. One of the rabbis was holding a sermon in Shul, he said, Al-Dera HaDrush, the Gemara of Zeni Shivan al-Hadrush. People assume that it means you can say any crazy thing you want and get away with it. But that's what he said. He said, Tafin and Salakim al-Horazed, the Jews will worship idols on this mountain. They'll worship the eagle. He's interpreting Pshat and the Pasuk that Elakim is Chol, it's not Kodesh. It's simple. The end of the Pshat is Tafin and Salakim, they'll worship God, they'll be Kabbalah Sateret. They'll bring Kabbalah to the bunch on Har Sinai. This rabbi, who's one of the prominent rabbis, was saying, Al-Dera HaDrush, Tafin and Salakim, that they'll worship the eagle. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was told in advance. And he gave a whole drasha, I forgot already the whole narration drasha. He gave a whole drasha explaining, came to Ferenc that kasha, what's for yours? So he said a whole drasha, that was part of it. So the other rabbanim got all angry and they put him in chayv. So they have a whole literature about this, and the shuvas and maritat, and other examples were discussing in the 1500s. They were discussing what to do with rabbis that give sermons that are completely false of shopping and crossing. You don't say in the Shiva and Allah, it's mamish sheker.
Yeah, I couldn't
pull that. Okay.
I don't know.
About it. The Gemara has a lot of halachas in this schedule. I'll just close with one more. The Gemara talks about Bayor Moshe Loshev Esetz Rish. Bayor Moshe, the name of the book written by Bayor Moshe, why is it called Bayor Moshe? Because Vayel leaves Moshe Shvua, and the whole Satna read this book, one case away. So I remember this book is about the Gimel Shvua, the three Shvua that the Jewish people took that they won't go back to Israel. He writes the whole book about that. It's available in all those.
Not the Wayu bookstores.
The Pasuk says, "Vayol Moshe L'Hashem Sisrishim Hashadena took an oath not to leave Midyan without the permission of his father-in-law." Then Hakadosh Baruch Hu tells him that he has to go. Lech Shuv Mitzrayim, you have to go back to Mitzrayim to free the Jewish people. So the Pasuk says, "Vayol Moshe L'Yosha V'Yatzachol V'Yom Elo," and he asks him permission. "Elchanov Yashuv Alachai Hashem Mitzrayim." Can I go back? Do you give me permission? The Gemara derives from this Pasuk that if a person took a shvur, the Tzivus Hasheni, I took a shvur that's in your benefits, I'm not allowed to be matah shvur unless I ask permission from you in advance. And then they were matah Moshe Rabbeinu. How can I be matah the shvur? A guy takes a shvur, so the shvur is binding. What do you mean Hatoras Nidorim? What is Hatoras Nidorim based on? Hatoras Nidorim can be based on one of two factors, either based on Charata or based on Tessa. Charata means I have Charata that I was ever in that state of mind in the first place. So the writer describes in the Hasagas on the Rambam, the person took a neder or a shvur when he was in a state of depression, or when he was in a state of unusual happiness, or a state of anger, or a state of any state other than a state of equilibrium. Well, I see that we serve Shemitim Shadisi, because Hashem and Negri Son, Shadisi, the Baal Shem Tov said, I'm always in the Midita Hishtabas, always in the same state of cheerfulness, because Hashem and Negri Son, he never gets angry, never gets depressed, never gets fear, never gets overly happy, always in the same state of Shadisi. But normally people can't live up to that, so normally people sometimes get depressed, they're angry, they're happy, they're scared, or whatever, but then if a person took an ever shvur in such a state, not in the state of Hishtabas, not in the state of equilibrium, then he has Charata de Meikara, the writer says, has Charata de Meikara that he was ever in that state of mind, so then you can be Matar the Neder based on that. What was Avraham Moshe Rabbeinu was what? He was an angry, scared girl. He went to Midian and he took a Neder. He wasn't happy, he wasn't scared, he wasn't depressed, wasn't anything. So this Hataras Nidorim was not based on Charata. In fact, this Machlokes is tomorrow, you can be Matar the Neder based on Charata. So they don't quote from this Pasuk. This Hataras Nidorim is based on Pesach. What does Pesach mean? There was some point of information that the person was unaware of at the time that he took the neder, and if he would have been aware of that, he wouldn't have taken the neder. So the Gemara says, what if he was aware of everything, but he wasn't aware that the race was going to drop the atom bomb on Hiroshima or something? So the guy took the neder, the guy takes the shvur that he's going to, oh, this is a ridiculous thing. So the guy takes the shvur, he's going to go visit Japan December 20th. 1941. Let's say a month before. And he didn't know. He didn't know that they're gonna when did they attack Pearl Harbor? The 7th. And when did they drop the atom bomb? Way later. That's a dead month. Okay. I don't know. Let's say a guy takes a guy takes a show, he's gonna do something. And then some unexpected, totally unexpected, crazy thing happens completely from the clear blue sky. And then he does want to fulfill it as a neder or a shvur later on. So then he wants to be matan neder. But sometimes, malpidin, you don't have to be matan neder. It could be a pikuach nefesh. He's not mechuyev to fulfill a neder. But let's say he wants to be matan neder based on a pesach. So he says, yes, if I would have realized that that's going to happen, I would have never taken a neder. So that's called ein pas to benoy life. How can he declare that as a neder b'toyz? It's because he weren't aware of all the repercussions in a neder. It's such a far-fetched thing that even if someone would have mentioned the possibility to you at the time that he took the neder, you would have taken the neder anyway. You would have said that's so far-fetched that it never happened in a million years. So the Kuala Zayn Pais couldn't know that. So the Gemara said, what's over here? Moshe Rabbeinu took a neder that he's not going to leave Midian. He's not going to go back to Egypt. And the reason why he took that neder is because they were out to kill him. There were people in Egypt that wanted to kill him. Paro was out to kill him, and Das Mavir were out to kill him. But then the Rebbe Shlom tells him, "May to call on Hashem, Hamavakshin Asnav Shem." Young people are Paro says, "Vayyav Nesmelach Mitzrayim." Paro died, and an old man, so he died. That's Noyla Deshchia. That's okay. Old people die, but that shy to say, "I thought it's not." If I would have realized that the guy's going to reach the age of 60, 80, 90, he's going to die, so I wouldn't have taken the matter indefinitely. I would have taken it out. I'm not going to go back to Egypt until Paro died. But these two guys, they were still alive and kicking. Those Mavim, they went with Moshe Rabbeinu the whole 40 years in the Midbar. He had aggravation from them Keseda. Okay, what do you mean over here? Ki Mesu Kolan Oshim. So Gemara says, "Listen, Mesu means Yodum and Yisrael, and they became poor." So Gemara says, "So how is that supposed to occur to him?" So Gemara says, "Yes, Anius is called the Noila Deshchia. The only time you have a Kolan Pesach from the Noila that you cannot see Matar and Neder based on a Pesach. If it's a Noila means a whole brand new thing." It would never have occurred to the person, Mishas HaNeder, if he would have told it to him. He would have said that's so far-fetched and never happened in a million years, and I'm going to take the neder anyway. That's only because it's a neder of the lo shchiya. But if it's a neder of the shchiya, then Allah is first in the neder. You might say that that's the interpretation of this parish. And Moshe Rabbeinu had a hafarot nidon. Don't say who was marked the neder. Moshe Rabbeinu had a hafarot nidon, and before he was marked the neder, Shabbos, where Pharaoh told the elders of Israel to kill the boys that are born. There's a famous comment in the Maharsha. Why did he tell Dafka the elders of Israel? Why didn't he tell the elders of Israel? But the Maharsha points out the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara distinguishes between the Sikha, the din of Lysitzah by Jews, and the din of Lysitzah by the Nenaya. The boy kills an Uber, the boy is Chayiv Nisr. The Jew kills an Uber, the Jew is not Chayiv Nisr. If a goy kills an Uber, he's chayiv nisr, so the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, and that's when Chesed saw, based on the pasuk in Parshas Noah, where it says, Shefech damo adam bo adam. If you kill a person and inside another person, he's done with Yishav. And if a Jew kills an Uber, he's not chayiv nisr. How do you know that? Why not? Yeah. He says that was told to Noah. That was told to Noah. The Shevin Nisr, he's not told to Noah. And they were observing them, more or less. So the halacha is that abortion is a greater avera for a nafri than it is for a Jew. That's for the mashur plan. If you judge by the punishment, the fact that if a goy kills an uber, the goy is chayim, if a Jew kills an uber, he's not chayim, so that's a rather, that's a great avera. Just parenthetically, how do you know that if a Jew kills an uber, he's not chayim? Because that pasuk in Parshas Noah only goes on the Noah. So the Achronim asked, but the other pasuk in Parshas Noah goes on the soil also. That committed suicide. Achaz Dimcha Mashasech and Edward, the law against suicide, which is only found in Parshas Noah, applies to Jews as well. So how did the Gemara know that this pasuk, Abshetech Dam Horem Borem Dam Yishotech, that if you kill an Uber before it's born, that Yechai Nisa, how did the Gemara know that that only applies to the Melech and Edward and Yishotech? So the Rishonim is, and Achronim is also as well, that it's bad to Gemara knew based on, that's a Mishnah Nidah. Mishnah Nidah, and this series of Mishnayos, that the Gemara quotes one of the other hands, the Mishnah of Yud. Bat Shal Shem Yamech Miskadesh is Bidi, and so on. The Mishnah says, Tinek Ben Yamechot, Hahor Ben Yeragolo. If you kill a baby who's one day old, it means it was born today on Thursday. Ben Yamech, it doesn't mean he was born on Wednesday and today's Thursday. Tinek Ben Yomo, means he was born today, Yechai Bid, what's the Kiddush? What's the implication that if you kill him before he's born, you're not Chayiv Nisr. So the explanation is given by the Mishnah and Achronim. This is known from the Parsha of Megillah, because the Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim that Kinata Nash Minatri Shahar of Yotzer Yeradeha Lo Ye Asam, if the woman doesn't get killed, Onish Yonish Kashi Ashu Sala Bal Ho Yishav and Asam with freedom, you have to pay the Megillah. The Masi Yiyah, then come with the Rabbi. Start the Manish Tachat Manish. So why not say, come over the Rabbi that you should be part of paying the name of others because you killed the Uber? So you see it's a right in that parish, you're killing the Uber, being sold, it's not Chayim. That's his Chiddush. He says that the reason why Pharaoh only told the Mialdus or Ivrios, and didn't tell the Mialdus or Mitzrios to kill the babies before they're born, is because the Mialdus or Ivrios is less of an Aveir. The question is that just because there's no Miso, yeah, there is Miso, that's the right, that's an Aveir. Let's say Zera. Zera by Yisroel, you have to pay back. Zera by the Melech, you have Miso. Does that indicate that the Aveir of Zera by the Melech is a greater Aveir? Or let's say, Eid Melachai, is a menachai also, by the Neirach, the Gemara says, Azorosim is li misosim. Whenever they violate any Azorah, Azorah means any love, any Avera, the Chayiv Misa. By the Nei Yisrael, they're achiluki yonshin. There's sometimes Misa, and within Misa Gufa, there are four levels. He lists way to Harry Krenik, and then you have Malthus, different kinds of onshin. That's the Mashon's assumption. He says, the Chiddush, that's why Paro Datke asked the Mialdus Oivios, not Mialdus Amitrios, because he knew he's asking them to do a sin, so he wanted to ask them so we'd be doing less of a sin. What do you mean, how can he ask them to kill a baby before it's born? He says they should see if it's a boy or a girl. How do they know if it's a boy or a girl before it's born? How do they have Roch HaKodesh? So the Gemara neither comments on this passage. The Gemara assumes that he asked them to kill a baby before they were born. I, Risa Nalo Avnoyin, and Bein Huva Hamitinos and Basis, before you hacking him down. So the Gemara says, indeed, the Torah Tmina quotes it on this he quotes it from the Gemara Sotah, but the same Gemara appears in Mila. The Gemara says, when the woman is about to give birth to the baby, you have to ask the doctor, because they say it's not true. But the Gemara says, when the woman is about to give birth to the baby, since the baby's face is up inside the mother's body, if the face is up, so then you know that it's a girl. If the face is down, then you know that it's a boy. Are you taking them on?
Huh? No,
bring it to the whole baby back. But we're talking over here, both normal. The both babies are normal. The head is at the end. So the nurse looks at the woman's body, so she sees the hair there, so she sees that the head is there. She doesn't see toes, she sees hair. So she knows the head is here. Then she puts her finger on the woman's body so she can feel, I guess, I don't know. She can feel if the face is up or the face is down. She can tell by looking at the hair whether the face is up or the face is down. So if the face is up, the Gemara says it's going to be a girl. If the face is down, it's going to be a boy. What's the way to remember? So the Gemara gives a needless in it to remember that Pshat Tashmish, the Gemara says the normal way to have Tashmish is that the man is Lamailo and the woman is Lamato. The woman is Lamato with her, and the woman is facing up. And the man is Lamailo facing down. So that's why when the baby is born, therefore, the Gemara says that's the way Ben Bonashon created the world. So therefore, when the babies are born, if it's a baby girl, she's going to be faced up, and if it's a baby boy, she's going to be faced up. That's a strange Gemara. The doctors say it's not necessarily something today. Maybe. Maybe the Stein on tell. The Mabel others. Right, but still as a din of Talmud Bechizkiya, that one who does an Aveir of the Shegit, which if he would have done the Mezid, he would have been Chayiv Misa. So if he does the Shegit, he's obviously not Chayiv Misa. Still, we still apply Kamla with the Rabbinate. He's still Pater from the Chiyuv Mammon that comes at the same time. So why does one ever pay the Mabel others? Why not say always Kamla with the Rabbinate? Only if he killed the Isha. Then he doesn't pay. But if he only kills the baby, he kills the baby, then he does pay the Nevel order. Why not always apply Kamalai with the Rambam?
You never have a put a Mammon on something
that's called Talmud Bechizkiya. That's the Brice of Talmud Bechizkiya that we don't distinguish between the Shegig and the Mezid. The Pasuk says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, his mother saw that tofu, that there was something special about him. What is it, Kitofu? So Rashi quotes one shot, Vayaro Kimasar Kitov, that or light is called Tov, and here in the Smalay Abai is Kulo Yoro. The baby was born, Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the whole house, the whole room was shining. One shot, then the Gemara gives different shots. One of the other shots when the Gemara gives is that he was Merlad Mohu. Moshe Rabbeinu was born, a Mohu. Gemara has a whole discussion in the Gemara Shabbos, the baby is Merlad Mohu. Do you have to have Hatafas Dam Bris or not? Different opinions in the Gemara. One opinion is yes, you need Hatafas Dam Bris to Teres Vadai. And even Deicha Shabbos to do the Hatafas Dam Bris. So if the baby is born on Shabbos, Shabbos later, you have to have Hatafas Dam Bris. The other opinion is no, you don't need Hatafas Dam Bris at all, not the Chol, not the Shabbos. And the third sheet is that if the baby is not a mole, it's a Safik or a Kushin. There's one opinion, there's a Vadai Arla Kfusha, one opinion, there's a Safik Arla Kfusha, and the third opinion, there's no Arla Kfusha. What do you mean, Arla Kfusha? Arla Kfusha sounds like, Kavush means that there's a suppressed Arla. As if the baby, every normal baby boy, when it's born, has an Arla. how come this baby is born without an arba? It must be that really if something went wrong in the middle of the pregnancy, really the pregnancy should have led to a normal baby developing an arba. Something happened in the middle, possibly we don't know whether yes or no, so the suffix or the klusha, maybe initially he should have developed an arba. Something came up in the middle of the pregnancy which prevented it from developing. So therefore, since there's a possibility that there may be a suppressed arba there, so therefore you need a hatafas damris. What's the connection? How does that explain? Hatafas damris, you don't cut off the outside. That's why it says keep talking.
I don't know what we work out with that, but I'm just saying those opinions, why you need Hatafas, letting in Hatafas down this or not, maybe tell them whether it's a problem of womb, that orders a womb, if you work without it, then you wouldn't need Hatafas down this because there's no reason for it because you don't have this womb. But if you say this to give him Kedushas Yisrael, you might need some sort of mindset.
Could be, but the Gemara doesn't imply that. Gemara involves everything about the issue of Arba Klusha. Is it a Tzatzik Arba Klusha? Is it a Bali Arba Klusha? You don't even have to worry about it.
The one
it.
That says Hatafas
Tamris
says
that it's Bali Arba Klusha. Yes. The other one says it's Tzatzik Arba Klusha. So you need a Hatafas Tamris, but you don't do it on Shabbos. It's only a Tzatzik Arba Klusha. That's the problem, that's what everybody is. What is Hatafas Dam? Just you take a little dam, and the Chazanim says you only have to have a little dam, just Mitzvah HaDam is enough. For Shabbos and Melach on Shabbos purposes, so you don't even have to be Moitzi Dam to violate the Yisra of Choyvel, the Melach of Choyvel B'Havera. You just bang somebody on the hand, give them a clap, and make a black and blue mark, Mitzvah HaDam, so the Mishnah says in Shabbos that that's already called Choyvel B'Havera. So the Chazanim says in the Chadish, you don't even need Hatafas Dam Mamish, that a Kipas Dam should come out from the baby's body, that doesn't come. This only is mitzvah dam. How does that take out the other kusha, the body of the kusha, the other kusha? It's very unclear. So the Chazanish says, Bishlein, if you hold like the other ruah, it's understandable. There's a ruah right to the Chidish that Hatafas Dam means that you have to take a knife and cut around the Yeva Hazakrus, peel off the outer layer of skin. And there's a ruah interprets the Gemara like that. The Gemara says that one of the Amoron had a baby who was Merlin Mohu, and he took him to 13 Merlin. Nobody knew how to do Hatafas Dam Ris, and then he did it himself, and he made his baby Pushavta. So why did he make the baby Pushavta? Why was it so difficult? Today, Hatafas Dam Ris is a very easy thing. If you get a model, he knows how to do it. All you have to make is Mitzvah Adam, make a Kibar Zan, Mamash. How do you make a baby Pushavta? How can you injure the baby by making Hatafas Dam Ris? So he says, if you hold like Yorazur says, you see from that Gemara that you're supposed to peel off the outer layer of skin around the Atorah, around the Gid. So of course, if you cut too much, you'll harm the whole baby. You'll make him into a Kusha.
How do you do that in a great
care? It's very difficult, but obviously we don't pass like that. We don't pass like that. So the question is, so what is it? What do you accomplish by making Hatafas Dam Ris? If you're afraid that there's a Vada or a Kusha, so we go to Kusha, how do you remove that Orla by making Hatafas Dam Ris? And furthermore, if it's an Orla Kusha, shouldn't it? It would have been, it should have been, if it would have been developed, but it wasn't for my sins. Look at the baby, it's not like mold. So what's the problem? Why does it bother us what it would have been? The baby would have developed completely as an embryo. So the mice right now, there is no Orla. So the Avnei Neza has a pshat, and also Avetchik Soto was the best pshat of all. A very sharp pshat. He says the pshat is like this. Loch is that whenever you can do this, Lila, the Loch says you have to do a toughest number. Why that should be told in a different question. But Allah is whenever, that's another discussion that costs some time. But this is the assumption. Whenever you can do lila, you have to do Hatafas Dam Ris. So for example, if the bris lila was done by a goy, so we learn out from the pasuk and lech lecha that it's no good, so you have to do it over again. How can you do it over again? So you do Hatafas Dam Ris. Let's say the lila was done tech shmona. Shalot is mana, it was done too early. So then we pasuk and the shach pasuk and every day against the Ramo. The Ramo says you don't have to do Hatafas Dam Ris. We talk like the shach, but you do have to do Hatafas Dam Ris. So the lila was done by lila, and even the Ramah says you have to have Hatafas Dam Ris. Here the question is, but atofes damris, you actually move the dam. What does it mean? Let's say the guy did this mila on the baby, or the mila was done tachshmai, the mila was done balaga, some kind of psul. Then you need atofes damris. Where do you do that atofes damris? You don't do it from his finger, from his nose. You have to do it from the geva ha'orva. So the question is, but if the baby was mother mahu, maybe he had no geva ha'orva. He'd never had an orva at all. So that's the mar's machlekes. If you hold, it's not that atofes damris is going to remove that orva kush. There is no. What do I care? Orva kush, what it used to be, but right now there's no problem. The question is, if the baby's mother mahu, so you can't do bris mila. There's nothing to cut. You can't do a bris mila. So the question is, but let's do atofes damris. Whenever you can't do a bris mila, you have to substitute it with Hatovah Damris, like if Nimo Lai Deyakum, or Nimo Balayla, Nimo Tashmeina. So the question is, but if he's Nerlad Mohu, maybe there is no Makam. Maybe there's no Makam Haroyla Hatovah Damris. That's what the Gemara says. If you think that there may be an Olaf Pusha, the fact that there may have been an Olaf Pusha when the baby was in the embryonic state, maybe he should have developed a little more to have an Olaf. And then something occurred and it didn't. So that's enough, that possibility. If it's a Vadir on the Pusha, it's other on the Pusha, that possibility is enough to enable you to declare that there is a Mokum to make Atofes Damris from. And an Afkamina will be, if it's a Vadir on the Pusha, then I say it's a Vadir Atofes Damris. If it's a Sotik on the Pusha, then it's a Sotik Atofes Damris. If it's a Sotik, is it like cutting on the finger or no? Or you say, no, I may be cutting on the right place now. That's an Achmina, whether if he's not or no, whether he do the Hatovah Damris on Shabbos or not. You know, so it's a three opinions. If it's a Vaday or a Pusha, so the Hatovah Damris is even Deicha Shabbos, it's a Sotik or a Pusha, and it's not Deicha Shabbos. That's the Machlokes.
What's the little
relation
with Orla Pusha?
Suppressed Orla.
That means that it didn't develop?
Yeah, that it didn't develop. That means the baby should have been born with an Orla. We assume that at the beginning of his... beginning of the pregnancy will start, but it should have developed as an oven. And something must have occurred later, may have occurred later, that caused it to stop developing. How do you determine whether a baby is called an oral mahul or not? Let's say there's a little bit of an oral, there's not too much oral. So the Gemara says it depends. If the baby has so much orla that it's basar achelkos reifu hatoro, then he's not called nerla no. But if the baby is born with so little orla that it's not chelkos reifu hatoro, it's only chelkos miyato hatoro, then that's called. That's the definition of nerla no. Nerla no legamre is a very unusual thing. Usually what you have is part of the orla is missing. So it depends how much of the yevah orla, how much of that membrane that covers over the tip of the gear will be missing. Then the Gemara has, however, a question, how do you judge? There are two ways to judge how it's basar chaytas reif hatorah. Do you determine b'shas kishui eivor, or do you determine b'shas when it's an eivor mace, when the eivor is not in a stiff position? If the eivor is mekusha, if it's b'shas kishui eivor, then the membrane will not be covering up that much. Then you go to kumar. Then you'll be mekel. If you judge the way the aver is when it's not in a stiff position, then the membrane will be covering more than you're going to chumra. So which way do you determine that? So the Gemara says that's determined the shas kishi is to decide whether the baby is called nerla mahol or not, whether the orla that he has is labeled as basa chavis or hatara or not. So that depends. That's judged by the shas kishi aver. The only question is, maybe that's only. The only question that the Gemara does not discuss, the Babli doesn't discuss, is the following. What if it's not a baby who's Nalad Mohu? What if it's a regular baby? Most babies are not Nalad Mohu. And the baby has an Orla. And then the Mohu did a bris on the baby, and we have to determine whether the Mohu cut off enough skin or not. So did the Mohu cut off Basra Chaytas Rehachal or not? So do we judge that also b'shas kisha yeger? Or do you judge that b'shas eiver meis, not b'shas kisha yeger? Why should it be an afkamina? So the Rishami says that it's the same. Rishami says the same thing. So just like by nerled mahu, I determine whether it's called nerled mahu or not. B'shas kisha yeger. So the same thing by a baby who's nerled orel. And I have to determine whether the mole cut off enough of the membrane or not. We also determine, it's also measured b'shas kishi yeger. And the Shach disagrees. The Shach somehow doesn't quote that Yerushalmi. Shach says Lalacha that it's not so. So if you put together these two chumras we were discussing the other day, when we know the Tosfos San Yudam and Aleph. According to many, many poskim, the Kriyitzkov, the Bitzela, Peterburg, the Kainas, that's the Das Rov HaPoskim, he says. Again, this is something we're talking about here. According to the Das Kama Poskim, the Das Rov HaPoskim, this he says, that HaTorah does mean the whole tip of the Gid. It just means the Chut HaMakif. If you say like that, and then you say them, if you say like that, so the boil can cut off Basar Chayfes Rav HaTorah, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, according to Menusha, according to this Chacham Sfardi, that the HaTorah means the Chut HaMakif, but then it hasn't begun to cut anything. It doesn't cut anything. The whole HaTorah is Mechus. So if you should assume like this Chacham Sfardi, that the Beis Yosef quotes in Hilchos Lila, that HaTorah means the Chut HaMakif, and it doesn't mean the whole Rosh HaGliyah. And number two, one should assume that you measure like b'shach, the Basar Chayfes Rav HaTorah is determined b'shach, not b'shach kisha yever, but b'shach eva meis, then you have an awful lot of people walking around who are our eva. Did they rise there? In the high court? It's a big problem. That's a shah, it's a passing of b'shach. I think Rav HaPosim don't hold like b'shach. Rav HaPosim, I think, quoted Yerushalmi, Rav Lezer Nemila against b'shach. That just like by Nerlad Mohu, you determine whether he's Nerlad Mohu or not, by Bas Lachavis Rav HaTorah on the baby, B'shas Kisha Yever, so too, by a Nerlad Orel, and you have to decide to determine whether the Mohu cut off enough or not, that's also determined, that's also decided by B'shas Kisha Yever, not B'shas Eva Meis. But that's a big shadow, that's why the Mincha Taluzim is a Mohu. The chassidish used to go to mikvah a lot, and all the chassidish used to go to mikvah. So a lot of times you take a zayda chassid and you tell him you want to put a sack in his wrist knee. You tell him, yeah. He's a machner also, so he's a big machner.
He held like a
kikumi. I think so. After he wrote a whole paper on the chassidish, I have to take a look. I think he did. The guy in Masechta, Dovel Mavardike, was a contemporary of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner passed away, he said a hesed to him. He never knew him personally, but he knew him by correspondence, and he knew that he was a great guy and brother and so on. So when he passed away, he said a hesed that was printed in the safe, and the guy in Masechta, he started off his hesed by asking Akasha. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, everybody knows he's a big tzaddik. Because it says regarding the tzaddik in the Sutta Yonefa Amale, after he's brought the Amale Shnachem Shal Tzaddik in Liyom Liyom, the tzaddik lives to the end of his years, because his book is not in the Kasa Yama. So he asked Takasha that Rav Chaim Volozhiner is really such a big tzaddik, how come he didn't die on his birthday? How come, because everybody knew what his birthday was, and he died not on his birthday, he died a week later. So if I enter the kasha by answering with a Gemara in Chelek, the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a machlokes, when there's a baby who dies, get on the mother. If the baby dies before his bris, or after his bris, or before 30 days, after 30 days, when does he get on the mother? It's a different opinion than the Gemara. So the guy in Maseta, Abdullah Mararkis, said, it must be like this. So we assume that if the baby dies before the bris mimot, he doesn't get on the mother, only if he dies after the bris mimot. Therefore, Chaim Volozhiner did live as Nisba Yamecha Amal because he died a week after his birthday. If he would have died on his birthday, so that would be not as Nisba Yamecha Amal. He never counts from the day the baby is born, he counts from a week later. I then have to catch him, Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zayin Adar and he died on Zayin Adar. The answer is that he was Melad Moho. Everybody's laughing, but he said this in a Hesed. The guy in Masechta said this in his Hesed. So what's the chiddush? How come we laugh and they didn't laugh then? Some of the teretz is that they had emunah and agadah. They believed in every word in the Gemara that it's an Islamifah. So the Gemara says no, the Gemara says the baby does get out of the habit till after the bris mila, and the Gemara says this is the amachah amalek. I don't know. The pasuk says that she hid out Moshe Rabbeinu for 3 months, and then the loyach lod hatzino, she couldn't hide him any longer. Then she put him in the river. Why does the Layap Lord have to know? So Rashi says, Mona lo ha-Mitzriyim b'yom sheheh hazira, that the Mitzriyim were keeping records. So they counted from the day that Yocheved remarried her husband to see when she might possibly become pregnant. And they were waiting till the end of 9 months, and she really gave birth after 6 months. So that's why at the end of 3 months she couldn't hide the baby anymore. Why? What is this whole chesed? The Rashi quotes in the Gemara that there are two types of pregnancies. The Gemara says there's a 9 month pregnancy that we're used to thinking of, and then there's a 7 month pregnancy. A 7 month pregnancy, the Gemara says, your lettuce is Shiva, your lettuce is Limukutoyim. If a woman has a 7 month pregnancy, so she can give birth Limukutoyim. It means she can give birth in the beginning of the 7th month. It means after 6 full months. And for the beginning of the 7th month, you don't need 7 full months. But the assumption is, how your lettuce Latesha, a woman gives birth to, if it's a 9 month pregnancy, the other kind, then it's any your lettuce Limukutoyim. That's the assumption that the Rashi is making based on the. Based on the Gemara. The Gemara either has an achlekes about that, whether your lettuce letishi, your lettuce in the kotoyim, or any your lettuce in the kotoyim. That's a big nafkamina ladina. Right, if a woman, let's say a woman has a normal pregnancy, a 9 month pregnancy. What if she has the baby at the beginning of the 9th month? After 8 full months, the beginning of the 9th month. Is that called a bar kayoma? Is that called kololoi hadosha? That's normal. Kololoi hadosha, what do you say? No. That's called Lekhalah Hadosh. It's not Kamina Ladina. Let's say Rachman Lutzlan, a baby is born. Then it dies within the first 30 days after it's born. So the Gemara says, if it's Biyadua, Shikolah Hadosh, if I know that this was a full term pregnancy, so then from the day the baby is born, the baby is a Bar Kayama, the whole Gemara. So a Hahorgo, if anybody kills the baby, is Chay Nisa. And if the baby dies on its own, the Krovim have to be Misabel. Shani Kane, if the baby was Moikol Lechadosha, if I know that it wasn't a full-time pregnancy, or it's a suffix of Kol Lechadosha, Moikol Lechadosha, but you don't know when the pregnancy began. So the mother or the baby doesn't know whether it's a full-time pregnancy or not. So then the Gemara says, like Rav Shimon Gamliel, you have to wait 30 days, and if the baby survives 30 days and then it dies, then the dinners that the relatives have to observe Avelus for the baby, and if somebody kills the baby after 30 days, then he's pregnant. So the question is, what's called a full-term pregnancy by a 9-month baby? If it's a 7-month pregnancy, so the most is your lettuce with Shiva, your lettuce with the Kutum, but your lettuce with Tisha, that's a machloek is Samaran in the Gemara. La Halach is a machloek is the Ramam and the Ramban, out of Paschim. Whether your lettuce with Tisha, your lettuce with the Kutum or not, the Shulchan Aruch, by Avelus, Paschim to the Hokum. If there's no Avelus, if a baby is born in the 9th month, and it wasn't Kol Lechadosha. The woman does not know Bevadai. She doesn't know for sure whether it was 9 full months, or she knows for sure that it was 9 full months, either one or the other. If she's not positive that she was pregnant with a baby for 9 full months, just by the way, how do you cheshbon 9 full months? Also Shaila, with this Kachuva and Hilchos Nida, this Kachuva and Hilchos Nida, Hilchos Nida say that we cheshbon 9 full months on a Jewish calendar. After showing we should follow the Jewish calendar. 9 months means 1 month is 30 days, 1 month is 29 days, 1 month is 30 days or so. Let's say if the woman became pregnant and Zion other or whatever, then you take 9 months later, Zion the 7th day of that month, 9 months later, whatever it's going to be. So the later I've heard him say that that's against the Gemara. The Gemara is the Farish. And you need to follow the Jewish calendar, do you follow the Jewish calendar? The Gemara says 9 full months means 9 times 30. 9 times 30 days is 9 full months. So the Shulchan Aruch task is la'alocha l'gabi aveilos that a lettuce letisha, any lettuce l'mukutai, that if the woman didn't have a full term pregnancy, full term in the sense of 9 times 30 days, how is that? 270 days. If she wasn't fully pregnant for 270 days, then the Gemara says it's called a stopit nefesh. So if the baby doesn't live for 30 days, the baby dies within the first 30 days, but then there's no avail. The Din HaShulchan Aruch. We discussed the kasha that the Ramah, at the end of Eben Ezra, and Hilchos Chalitza, paskens that with manazet, mishtana hatzvoim, so with manazet, the doctors say that it is absolutely normal for a woman to give birth into the 9th month. As long as the 8 full months are over, and the woman began the 9th month. Already. So why does the Shulchan Aruch pasken Hilchos Aveilu that there's no avail on such a thing? Discussed a different thing. But here the Rashi quotes this on Chumash, on the Pasuk, Layach Lord Hatzpino, Rashi is quoting this Gemara, that he alleged to Shish, he alleged to Shiva, Yeah, that is the Makutah. That's what the Gemara says. Everybody agrees like that. Since the whole pregnancy is a Makutah, bigger pregnancy. The body can be Makatah with more. Yeah, that is the Makutah. You can shop off the end of this Mikvah Sachedish Kekuba. And your letters with Tisha is the Machlekes Amorim and the Machlekes Rishonim and the Steam and the Shulchan Aruch. How to pass it? The Shalom Megay Lady, unfortunately. The pasuk says that after Moshe Rabbeinu was born, his sister was standing nearby. That they said, "Tzava chotzom erachot udera mariyosa lo." And then, when the baby was taken by Bas Paro, so Miriam asked, "Batomer achos lo Bas Paro ha'ilef lekrosi lo chishon inekis minhu yivuyos usenik lochas ayolid." Shall I go get you a Jewish woman to nurse the baby? Why should you have to get a Jewish woman? What's wrong? The mitzvahs can't nurse the baby. So Rashi quotes the Gemara in the Rishvam of Malamed Shef Zirasa Yala Mitzvias Harbe Linak Velo Yanak Letisha Haya Osir Lugaber Im Hashchina. He didn't want to drink the milk from the, he didn't want to nurse from the Goyish mother. Why not? Right. Because they ate Rachel food. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that they say the mother of the baby, a mother of a baby is sick. And she can't nurse her child, so she wants to give the child to a Goyish woman to nurse. So the Ramah quotes from the Rishonim from Yozarua, now goes Osher, now but it's up, Shem Yozarua, that if you have a Goyish woman nursing the baby, you should be mocked to tell a Goyish woman not to eat trefa food. What's the difference whether the Goyish woman is eating trefa food or not eating trefa food? But when I say that, the milk is kosher. The milk that comes out from the Goyish woman is kosher now. But when Afghanina, how this milk develops, of course, if the Goyish woman wouldn't eat any food, she wouldn't be in a healthy condition, she wouldn't be in a healthy condition, she wouldn't have any food, she wouldn't have any milk.
Explain
one time that this is some things are just possible, that some things are kasa, and some things are bad. Yeah, so even though the milk is mutter, the dinner has these bad elements, and it's very bad for the nefesh. Right, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, based on the Chumash. It says you shouldn't eat trefa food. It says in Chumash, "Ve'ikra v'nitznei sambo." So the word "v'nitznei sambo" is written in Chumash. That eating trefa food is matamta mesalek. So you see that even, you see from this Gemara, see from this din of Shulchan Aruch, that even if the trefa food is kosher, let's say you have trefa food that's bakel v'shishim, or you have trefa food that's nishtana and somehow it's muta. So even though strictly speaking it's muta, but still there's a problem that it may be matamta mesalek. So we wouldn't recommend it if you want your children to develop to become Nevi'im. Tesha also the dabri mashchina. You want the child to be not skilled in learning, or to become a big novi or something like that, you should be careful about the things that are matamta mesalek. That's what Moshe Feinstein has in the truth. He says, what about pills? All the trade for pills, and neither hashgacha or not. When Moshe says, neither again, let's say chomets. When it comes paste out, everybody has to know whether there's any chomets in the pills. Stam, all the trade for pills and all the medication. So Moshe writes in his tshuva, what do you mean if it's kosher or not? Nisam achilas sodom, nisam achilas kelo. The din is that for kol atar kula, if it's nisam achilas sodom, it's mutter. So chomet b'tesa, it's not enough if it's nisam achilas sodom, it has to be nisam achilas kelo. Nikra din, you don't need any hashgachas. So what are we making everybody crazy for? What do you need all hashgachas for? So the answer is, if you can get with hashgachas, if you can get the with kosher derivatives, it's about it better. Why is it better? Because even though it's nisam achilas sodom, nisam achilas kelo, and strictly speaking, legally speaking, it's mutter, but we're still afraid that it may be mitamta mesalek, like over here, Moshe Rabbeinu, the milk was kosher, but still it had non-kosher derivatives in it. Even though it was kosher, but still it came from non-kosher sources. So whenever possible, we avoid that. So that's why the hatchila, you have to have a hashgacha on trefa pills. It's a shayla on the trefa pills. Others disagree with Moshe. Moshe makes a chedim like this. It nifs machila sodom, so it's mutter. Either we pass in there like the Rosh, that even if something is nifs machila sodom, or tachomet is nifs machila kelo, but it's only also it's only muta b'hano, but it's also b'achila midirabban. If you sit needed, so we say that it's also midirabban because of achshavei. If you're reading it, you're machshavei as food. You're declaring that as far as you're concerned, it's not nifsam achila. B'haraya, you're sitting and eating it. So shouldn't there be at least an isa derabbanan against eating these foods? So Rashi Tain is noise. Says whatever you take the food, if I take it the food, people do all kinds of crazy things in the food. So doesn't if the tzai eat a newspaper the food? I tell you to all kinds of things. But people do all kinds of things with food. So the food is not necessarily an indication that because you swallow something, it's you're demonstrating that it's food. The Issa de Rabbanan that the Rosh points out based on the Gemara, there's some food, some treasure food, is Nisra Makila Sodom, and I go ahead and I eat it anyway, that I'm violating Nisra Dabon, because of Ashrei, that's only if I sit there and I have a whole bowl, let's say one fine day, I sit there and I have nothing to do. I eat a whole bowl full of pills. That's going to be my breakfast. Aspirin, whatever. I have a whole. I'm filling myself up on this. I keep on chewing on it, watching television, I keep on popping them into my mouth. I keep on then you can say, actually, but if the guy is sick and he takes this as a medicine and it has a terrible flavor, whatever, and he really isn't interested in taking it, but Bal Korcha, you have to take it the refuah. So the Moshe Paskin is in his tshuva, and then you can say, actually. Others disagree. Other Paskin. Big post to me for Rav Moshe disagree. Rav Avadya Yosef has it truly, he disagrees with Rav Moshe. Has a different angle when it's Mitzvah. Rav Moshe's story is a very good story. There was a Rafi once from Shalhoun, Rav Serebnik, gave a whole shiur on it. He was explaining why all the posts can disagree with Rav Moshe. The Pashta, even though the big post, Shabbataria, Kaddish, many others, the Pashta seems like a Moshe. He gives a good story. If it's medicine that doesn't, that you normally people don't eat when they're healthy.
Yeah,
even if it has, let's say, cherry flavoring or something, I don't think he said that. Because the thing is that you don't. No? If you eat healthy, people never eat it. So it's not called food. So you don't care for it.
Do you tell you
how to eat? I don't know, but only if you eat food. Yeah, okay. I don't know. Could be, I don't know. Could be. The Shaila's on cloth traps like this. It was the first Mitzvah on the Achila Sodom. Whatever traces were here, was the first Mitzvah on the Achila Sodom, and then by mixing in a lot of sugar, became Royal Achila Sodom now? Or was it never Mitzvah on the Achila Sodom? Probably the nicest Shaila Kacholya. The traces that was blended in was originally in a form that it was not Royal Akiva Sodom, it tasted awful. And then to make it palatable, so they added on sugar or flavor. So then the Chavazah says on the other day that whenever some traces in Trisim Akiva Sodom, it becomes Mutter, then even if it's close to the Royal Akiva Sodom, it remains Mutter. Once it's Mutter, it's Mutter. Of course, it demands more. The Pharisee demands more like that. Shaila, cough drops, because sometimes kids eat cough drops. It's not necessarily a medication. That's a shame. Nice, cough drops don't even help. It's not really medication at all. It's not a candy. All things are fake.
What about gum?
So, like you said, you have to say a bracha when you chew gum because it's swallowing the sugar. Does the gum have to be kosher? Yeah. Well, the sugar that you swallow has to be
kosher.
What's the basic reason for the gum?
That's
not what you swallow. It just holds it together. Touch the cigarette, it doesn't mean it. That's like chewing paper. What's that guy chews tobacco and he spits it out? What are the good people who chew tobacco? You don't get the juice. That's the only problem. That's not swallowed at all. You don't even swallow the flavoring.
What tobacco does?
Maybe the flavoring that's in the gum has the trace ingredients. The only problem is the gum base, something that you don't swallow at all, or something that they don't make some time to what you do swallow. And the Pashto says that for that you don't even have that. There you don't even have the chumrah of the Rambam, you don't even have the chumrah from Moshe Rabbeinu. What's going to happen? He's not swallowing it. But there's not a lot of rough trace of things on the stick. You can't go around these kind of stick.
What is that machine with the
Sugar that ruined Eretz Yisrael. Where does this stuff come from? You grow it from the ground.
Sugar. I don't know what you're saying, but there's a problem with their drug levels and stuff.
Yeah.
And flavoring. But that's something in the ground.
Yeah. Some of the flow green you have to be
not. The point when you said that when something is ever not wild up to those other smoothies, then shouldn't that be the answer for the development problems according to that? Do you seem to somebody seems to pass in that all gelatins are then mother? Why don't we talk in that way off the
light? I don't know, you can read them in the omnibus.
If we pass in that way, by medicine, why don't we pass in that way? Maybe then by everything else.
Because we don't. Because we don't. You want to shine it in the sea, isn't it true?
No,
all
no.
The gelatin is a mixed amount of water. You have to find out what the sea is. Years ago, they used to use things that are next to Martin of Dogma. I'm not this good, but that's the same way they make the job. Ashrei means like this. Ashrei means like this. If you have trays of food that are next to Martin of Dogma, this is very important. This is very important. Because this is misunderstood by a big rabbonim. Ashrei means like this, if you have trays of food that this on the Achila Sodom, and I sit and eat it anyway, this needs to be trays of food, and I sit and I eat it, I'm chewing up my pen, I swallow it. So I demonstrate that I enjoy it, I declare that as far as me, it was never Nifsim Achila Sodom. I declare that as far as I'm concerned, it was never Nifsim Achila Sodom. So even on the Minatari, you say, Bottle Diaper, 8,000 Kogan Yodom, and I say that it's Mukha Minatari, but it's Rabban, I say Achshavei. He demonstrates that he doesn't consider that it's Nifsim Achila Sodom. But what happens if you have it like this? I had this, let's say, the tray for gelatin was originally very Achila Sodom. And then it went through a process during which time it became Nifsim Achila Sodom. It became Mutter. Then it goes through another process during which time it becomes very Achila Sodom, and then I eat it. Then you can't say Achshavei. But because I'm eating it now in a delicious state that has a lot of sugar, that demonstrates that it was never Nifsim Achila Sodom, I don't demonstrate anything at all. Like there. Now it's good. I would never have eaten it then. So at that time that I lived from Achilas Sodom, it was Mutter. And now it doesn't become Chayv Vinasa. Some want to say, I think completely in error. Some want to say, based on that Rosh, that the Rosh says, Achshavei. So you see from the Rosh that if something was lived from Achilas Sodom, and then I sit and I eat it now, so it becomes right Achilas Sodom again. So the Rosh disagrees with the Chavuz Das. When you see the Rosh disagrees with that Chavuz Das, Chavuz Das quotes a Gemara, having argued a Gemara. The Gemara is Murim. If the thing is Nifsim Achila Sodom, then it becomes Roy Achila Sodom again. Once it was Nifsim of Mutter, and it's not Chayzim Yisura. So someone quote a Rai for that Rosh, but the fact that the Rosh says, actually, if I sit and I eat the tray for 10, that's now in Roy Achila Sodom, that shows that if it's Nifsim Achila Sodom, then it becomes Roy Achila Sodom. But Rai that I'm eating it, that it's also, that's not a Rai. Actually means I demonstrate, I'm the Galadas, that as far as I'm concerned, it's not Nifsim Achila Sodom. The harai that I'm sitting and eating it. As far as I'm concerned, in Atera I say, Bottom Zaito. But in the Rabban I say, as far as you're concerned, it was never Nifsim Achila Sodom, never had a hetter. But if at the time that I begin to eat it, I eat it in a state that is delicious, it has flavoring, it has sugar and sweetening and everything in it, then there isn't even any Achshavei. In the Chari, even in Rosh should agree that it's hetter gomer. Not to say that over here everybody should agree that it's also in Atera. That's what some want to say a twist. If I was jealous now that it's Chayv and Roy Achila Sodom Namish, everybody would agree that it's also in Atera. You know, if I care. Everybody thinks that it's even with them in the Rabbanon. That's what now it's talking about. Al-Bipashta. If it's true, if the facts are true, that at one time it went through a process at which time it was with some of that. You have to find out if the facts are
true. Except for Malay.
Step four?
Malay.
Yeah, that problem is still there. If you plan to be a Talmud Chacham, you plan to grow up to be a great Jewish leader or something. And we don't recommend that you should have a thing to my life.
The same thing would be for like accountants that have the candies and things like that, like less than that, so are not possibly eatable in its pure state, which doesn't have spoonfuls of less than it either. So when you add it to a chocolate bar, that chocolate bar would not become non kosher even though that one product is not kosher.
You have to know what's the definition of Nifsim Achila Sodom, what's the definition of Shavuot Kiderach Achila Sodom. Let's say if you eat. If I have trace hamburgers, let's say, and I fry them on a frying pan, and then I eat it while it's burning hot. So that's not called Nifsim Achila Sodom. It's delicious. The only thing is that it's Shmoy Kederach Achilosa. I can eat it while it's burning hot. Unless I take it out of the freezer, and it's very cooked, I take it out of the freezer, and I eat it while it's ice cold. And no person in his normal mind would eat while his eyes fall on freezes and break his teeth. That's not called Nismati Masad, there's nothing wrong with it. The only thing that that's called Shabbat Gedera Hakilas is that's Lutan and Akhari. Or that I put on so much ketchup or so much mustard that it tastes awful now. That's not Nismati Masad. I can wash it off and it won't have a ketchup in it. I can rinse it off. That's not the Chazanish explained. These are two different things. That's not called Nismati Masad. That's called Shloike Derech Achilos. So right now, Shloike Derech Achilos is only Yisrael Rabban. But the only time you have this heter, that if it's one Nisim Achilos Sodom, and even if it's Chazir Roel Achilos Sodom later on, it's heter Gomor, the heter of the Chabizah, and this time he's a martyr, he put it before. That's only if it's really Nisim Achilos Sodom in an irreversible sense. Next time I put in a lot of ketchup. Let's say if I have such a traitor thing, which really tastes good, but it's so sharp, that unless I blend it with water or something, unless I blend it with a lot of ice cream or with a lot of milk or something, it'll taste awful. So that's not necessarily called Nisim Achilosot. That's where Achilosot is. It's just the Shluka Derech Achilosot, to eat it the way it is now. I don't know. What does Lesson taste like? They taste good if you drink the whole glass full. But let's say if you take a little bit and mix it in with water, it's going to taste good. You have to find out whether it's called Nisim Achilosot. But Roy Achilasod and Baruch Hashem, Roy Achilasod, to eat it the way it is right now.
I don't understand the concept.